I would like to stand there and have that, you know, glamour, that good time with the Lord, saying, you know, you did all this, you won many souls for Christ, and you did all this. Those are that is the key on my wishes in this world.
Well, I think that's helpful for us all to reflect on, the words of Charles Mully there about what he hopes to hear from the Lord when he meets him one day in heaven. It's good for all of us to think about, how are we using our lives now? Later on in the show, we're going to answer a question from a guy who wants to be dating a girl, but she's dating someone else. So he's wondering if he should hang around and do recon on her in the meantime. Then for our culture segment, we will be revisiting with Charles Mully and his wife Esther and son Dixon for part two of my interview with him, as he tells us what God has now currently been doing with him in Kenya, more of his story. But speaking of that and how God is using him, how is God using us? Well, here we are for a round table, and I get to welcome Brandon, Katie, and Dan. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Great to have you here. All right. Well, we get to talk about the exciting topic of wasting our lives today. Mm. So, Of course, as we often do, we sent an article your way. This one from actually one of the guys who works for Bayside Church out there in Northern California, and he blogs regularly for them, and I've been following a few of his posts, which are kind of fun to keep up with and see what he has to say. But his name's Frank Powell, and he does a lot on just kind of effectiveness and calling and stuff like that. So we can blame him if he depresses us. One thing he did throughout the article, and it's actually the one I'm talking about, is called Seven Ways to Waste Your Life. One thing he did throughout the article was he chronicled different chunks of time throughout our life that we devote to certain activities, including sleeping, which is 25 years. That seems like a lot. I think, doesn't Martha Stewart or someone just sleep 3 hours a night? So maybe she doesn't quite hit the 25 years. But 10.3 years working. I was surprised by that. That's a lot less than I thought it would be. I feel like I work a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then over three and a half years eating, 2 years in work meetings, a year and a half in the bathroom. So that's that's good to know. But some of the other things, obviously, that I thought were a little bit sobering, one being over 9 years watching TV plus 2 years watching commercials. So over 11 years of our lives that we are spending watching TV, whether, you know, whether broadcast TV or Netflix or whatever. So, okay, so the first thing I want to ask you guys is, when you think of a topic of like, is the whole topic of I could potentially be wasting my life something that you think about? Does this, I mean, on any level, whether it's just like, oh yeah, or saying, you know, no, I'm living life to the fullest, or you freak out about it and it keeps you up at night. Where are we on the continuum of feeling like we're being effective or not in our lives?
Well, definitely, for me, I definitely do feel after I watch a certain amount of TV, I do feel kind of my brain is mushing away, which is scientifically proven that it is, which is interesting in and of itself. Obviously, we do need rest, but maybe TV isn't the best way to do that. Mm-hmm. So I definitely do feel that pressure of trying to figure out some other way to relax or to invest my time in instead of sitting on the couch and playing video games or watching TV.
Yeah, because they do say that's kind of like a checking out. It's not really, you know, engaging or whatever. So it's kind of your way to check out, not even really rest. So,
They say that your brain is more active while you're asleep than when you watch TV.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was also very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, wow.
Very interesting. I think for me, there's a constant battle between, you know, finding that rest and not feeling like I'm being lazy. And, you know, if I'm like sitting down and watching TV or reading a book, like I could be cleaning or I could be running errands. And, you know, and so there's like, that's a whole different concept there too. And so I don't unconsciously really think that I'm wasting time. It's just in those moments when I stop and I'm sitting down, especially on the weekends, I find I have a hard time just having the morning and just saying, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to read, or I'm just going to have my Devo time and just be quiet. I always feel like there's something I should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so then I tend to not maybe rest as much as I should.
Okay.
For me, this might kind of be jumping ahead, but I know one thing that he talked about in the article was people often say like, oh, we're going to do all these things and we have these intentions of doing all these things. And I know for me personally, I have a lot of things I want to do and a lot of interests and stuff like that, but I don't actually go through with them a lot. And then I look back and I'm like, oh, well, dang it. Like, why didn't I do that? And so that's when I feel the most like I'm quote unquote wasting my time or wasting my life is when I don't fully pursue things that I say I'm going to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's interesting because I find that a lot of people who, I think there's a difference between the effectiveness or the things that get accomplished in people that say they're going to do things and they like write them down or commit to them or tell other people about them rather than the kind of those arbitrary, yeah, I want to do that, you know, and it's just someday or I hope to do this or whatever. Because I think you could easily go back. I love productivity. I love lists. I love goals. I love all that kind of stuff. And it becomes almost a game for me. So like it's dangerous to host the show because then I get all these experts on here and like we've had an expert on minimalism. So now I'm all like, how can I become a minimalist? I just want to like do it all and like pare down and become more whatever productive. But I think I could look back, like if all of us looked back at 2016, like what, you know, one of the sobering exercises that I've done is like, what was different about that year for me? Like, how did I do life differently? Or what did I grow in? What did I learn? What did I, or did I just kind of chug through the days and the months and 2016 could have been written off my calendar because it wasn't, there was nothing new. There was nothing challenging. There was no place that I really pushed myself.
Yeah.
Have you ever done those kinds of like benchmarks in your life? Or are you guys like goal setters? Do you guys write goals or no? Do you hate them?
No.
You're a goal setter, Brandon.
Well, I don't really write them down, though.
I just have
them in my head. I'm like disciplined enough, I think, that once I know kind of what I want, I'm pretty good at least trying to achieve it. I know there's some things I've started and just got lazy or just not finished with. But other things I would say, I do have goals. I can get caught in the monotony, the day-to-day routine, and so I do try to step away from that by setting a goal or having something to better. Like right now I'm studying for an exam for the career field I'm in, you know, to help like a certification in that. And so it's like, okay, I have to spend time doing it, but I know it'll be worth it. It's something to look kind of something to look forward to. Yeah.
Katie, when you say you look ahead, like you have the things that you want to do, like what are these types of things? Are they kind of always a running list of different things that you want to accomplish or do?
Yeah, honestly, like it's a lot of hobbies a lot of the time, and just pursuing things that I'm, you know, that I'll have fun doing or something like that. And like kind of with the goal thing, I'm a list maker. I'm the epitome of type A. And so big picture isn't really my strongest thing. So I'll set smaller goals and like, I'm more of a day-to-day, like that's just how I function better. So I'll have like my smaller list of things to do and then I'll go through those and then, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, let me run through a couple of these things that that the article writer says. And I thought it was interesting because a couple of these I felt like I had to take issue with. I mean, the first one being, and these are, again, seven ways that you can waste your life. And the first one he says is by distracting yourself with good things.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, what does he mean by good things? And then he like lists as examples, like Bible study. I'm like, what? Or small group. Volunteer at church, join a small group, support your family, go on a mission trip. What? And he's like, all good things, right? But then his point, and he actually has another point later on where he talks about it, is sometimes we can do these things because we know they're good and they're just filling time or making us feel good about ourselves or making us feel like we're accomplishing something or, you know, filling space in our lives. So I guess I have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with that response.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys resonate with that one?
No, I definitely would agree with you that a lot of people, even Christians, sometimes feel that they have to do some of those activities, whether every single year or whether before a certain time period, that they would definitely want to attain to most of that list. Obviously, we need to do everything in moderation, and maybe God doesn't have us being a missionary, but he has us doing he gave us a different mission field that we need to take that time to resonate with.
Mm-hmm. I think if your heart's in the right place, to me, like, investing in other people is good. Like, and so when I read that first, I was like, no, this is wasting your life, but he's saying good things. And so I can get it if it's, you know, that person that just needs to fill, they're just doing it to fill up the space and to stay busy, more about them. But if it's really about investing in people, then I think investing in yourself, focusing on yourself, that's where the waste of time, I think, at least for me, can come in. But it's when it's outward and it's to other people, then I think that it's a good thing. But that's just me.
Well, and to that point, when, you know, kind of what he said in tandem with that was, one way to waste your life is to avoid what's right in front of you. And he said, you know, you may not be sure about what your one thing is. And he makes the argument that your one thing is what's right in front of you, what's always right in front of you. And so I thought that was interesting, because I think it's a both and. I mean, I think there are, the way that I would read it too is, especially when, you know, distracting yourself with a bunch of other, quote, good things, some things are just not meant for all of us to do. Like, some people are specifically gifted at certain things, or, you know, I know that I volunteered things and then I just stayed in them because of guilt and stuff. And I realized, you know, this isn't life-giving for me or the people that I'm helping, when what I really need to be doing is this. But maybe this that I really need to be doing is, like, scary, or it's a lot of work, or it's out of my comfort zone, or whatever. Mm. So I don't know. Does anyone have any experience with and I think we could apply avoiding what's right in front of you on a number of different levels. I do that in all areas of my life, I think. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I would just say that it's hard to avoid what's right in front of you because it's hard to realize that what's in front of you isn't the most important thing in your life at the moment. And I feel like that's what a lot of people and Christians struggle with, is that they're so focused on the present and trying to find some kind of meaning in what they're doing at the present, that maybe they're not searching themselves far enough, and they're looking for other people to inspire them to what they're supposed to find meaning. Mm-hmm. So maybe they should be taking one of those mission trips to find within themselves what they need to be looking at.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. The next couple myths or things that show that you're wasting your life, I thought were really good ones and very much convicting for me. One, telling yourself you don't have enough time, and then talking about what you should do, but you never actually do it. And I felt like this kind of went hand in hand, because I find myself spending time on a lot of things that are time wasters, and then I'll find very good things or things I know I should be doing. And I'm like, oh, I just don't have enough time, or I can't fit it in, or I can't. But really, that's just me being either incredibly lazy or an incredibly poor manager of my time. And then, like what Katie was saying, looking out to the future too, of saying, oh yeah, well, there's going to be this, and this, and I'll do it. But then I never get around to it. And I find that that's usually the case when I look back on a year, or I look back on a season or a situation. Mm-hmm. What would you guys say about either one of those, about the whole, you know, well, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then not really doing it, or treading into the area of just saying you're not going to be able to do something because you, quote, don't have enough time, when we all really have the same amount of time, people.
I think they kind of go hand in hand a lot of times. Because, if you say, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to do this, and you have all the intention of doing it, but then you're like, oh, well, but I'm too tired now, or the day's almost over, so why start, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I just think that they can kind of link together a little bit. At least that's how my experience has been. Because transitioning from being a kid and being at school to even being at college to going into the workplace, I mean, working full-time is, like, it's a transition and it's hard. And so, I don't know, like, that's just real life, and real life is hard. And it's, so even if I have, like, again, these things that I want to try to do, or, like, I like cooking, but I don't do it a whole ton. And I don't know. And then I get home and I'm like, well, I'm just too tired to even, like, try to cook. So I'm like, Mom, go cook. And so I don't want to do it anymore.
Bowl of cereal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not very outgoing. I'm an introvert. And so a lot of the time it's hard for me. I see those opportunities right in front of me and I know in my head that I should step out and do them, but I just make an excuse and go and stay in my routine, you know. And kind of the one thing with marriage that I'll be stepping into is that where, you know, that becomes, you can't do that. You know, mm-hmm. It is that other person. You do have to put the other person before you, and you can't just say, no, I'm going to go to the gym or go for a run. And so I know I've missed out on a lot of opportunities just because I was scared and I didn't know, you know, there was the unknown that kind of kept me from doing it. And so I've never had an issue with either overscheduling, or usually I keep my schedule a little lighter, but it's usually been those things that I know in my head that I should do or I want to do, but I'm just not brave enough to mm-hmm. try. And usually it's like, you know, being a, you know, teaching a Bible study, or, you know, where I'm leading a group of people, or, you know, I see people do that and I'm like, that's awesome. I want to do that. And then I never, uh-huh. I can talk myself out of anything, and then I just don't do it. And then I miss out.
Yeah. Well, and it seems to me, I like too how in this section about saying you don't have enough time, he used examples. He actually makes the statement, the number of your days doesn't determine the breadth of your impact, and how there are a number of people in history who actually were on the map, whether, you know, just because their life was cut short or just their time of impact was very short, yeah. But yet the ripple effect of what they did and what they accomplished is still being felt. And he uses examples, you know, everyone from the Apostle Paul, yeah. King David, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, and of course Jesus himself, having 3 mm-hmm. years of earthly Absolutely. Ministry and knowing what, not that we have to be like, oh my goodness, I'm so intimidated because it's Jesus, but yeah, okay, so he is Jesus, but still, I thought that was really food for thought, just because it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I have this amount of time to do stuff, or I need yeah. more days or more months or whatever, but just, are we really, you know, pushing ourselves to maximize the time that we have and do the things that God specifically is calling us to do. Okay, so now we tread into one where he says just straight up watch a lot of TV. And we actually just, we had a post from one of our bloggers, Ross Boone, not too long ago about this. And he said, is TV killing your dream? And talking about how so many people have these dreams to do things or learn something new or accomplish something or, you know, basically start something or whatever, but just sheer volume of time that they're spending watching TV or staying up on shows or whatever, yep. You know, is kind of killing that or making it not attainable.
Yeah.
Where have you guys been in the space? And I think you could put TV in the space, you could put, you know, smartphones, you could put just all the yeah. distractions of daily life that cause us to pull towards something else.
Well, that's a very good question. I think sometimes it just comes naturally that you just aren't attracted to the TV or to the episode or TV show that you're watching, and you become internally motivated to do something else with your life. Personally, I do like watching TV. I don't know why. I wish I wasn't, but it's just something that I'm striving to stay away from, just because I know it's a huge distraction for me personally.
Netflix is the devil. That I think is when I first realized how like wasteful that it can be, especially when, you know, the seasons get released all at one time. Yeah. And I think I don't know what I was watching. It might have been like House of Cards, and it was like you all of a sudden you've watched like 3
Great
or
TV
4
show, by the way.
Because you just awesome. Have to arrow down to
right.
the next one.
Or it just yeah, starts. And it's like all of a sudden you've wasted 2 hours of your time. And yeah. I mean, good show, but I would much rather be, I mean, the state we live in, beautiful. You can be outside, you can
Absolutely.
Be reading, I don't know. So I really, once I think I realized that, I don't have cable now, and it's the best decision, I think, that I've made. I have Netflix. I'm very selective in the time that I spend watching that.
That's
I know
great.
My fiance, future wife, she doesn't watch TV, so I feel like we'll have a good foundation there of trying to find other things to do. If we have kids, we really don't want to introduce them to TV at an early age either, because it's just, I don't know, like you said, it
yeah.
it just eats away at your brain.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Netflix is so judgmental too, because like if you're, it calls you out if you've been watching for too long, because the little thing pops up and it's like, are you still here? It's like, yes. Just let me keep watching.
That's funny. Yeah. It is crazy. I mean, again, you know, just from the article, 11.1 years in totality for the average person in watching TV. And Frank says, you know, I'm not against TV or Netflix, but I want to say this directly. Those who spend 11 years in front of the TV are wasting their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, when you total it up, it's kind of nutty. All right. Well, the last two, we don't even have time to get into them, but believe certain narratives about yourself is one, just ways that you can waste your life, and then waiting for permission. And just that believing narratives, I think that's so true. We can get so caught up. It could be something you had, you know, from childhoods, a lie that you were told, something you were, and now you've lived into that and you haven't shaken it off, and it's affected the things you're willing to try, the decisions you've made in life, where you've gone with that. Or just where you are right now and kind of that, you know, what you're not pursuing because you think that you can't do it, or, you know, or you are this or that because your parents were or something. I think that's a great point. And then finally, that waiting for permission. I think his point there was just talking about, you know, if we're going to sit around waiting for a person to ask us to do something or give us the opportunity, it may never come. So we have to go out and if God's calling us to something, you know, he said here, God signed off on your permission slip the moment he placed you on this earth. And so we're to go out and be called to do what we want to do. So thanks, you guys, for sharing from your own experiences.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.